coração, um convite, não te sintas obrigado ou obrigada a fazê-lo. Coloca no interior das mãos uma intenção, um pedido, um desejo, um agradecimento ou traz a presença de alguém que te é querido. Também aqui diz o mantra Orukasa Mastasu Oshantanti Ariyo. Inspira e expira. Inspira para o longo.
Most of us think of yoga as a practice, 1 hour in the morning maybe, 2 hours. But yoga is a way of living, and the yoga practice should be from morning to night. And what is that practice? It is to live a life of peace and harmony with others. That is called living the life of yoga. Because there's no point having a practice and then the rest of the day you are in conflict with others and yourself. That is an incomplete practice. That is a fragmented practice. Yoga, the word itself means to join, to yoke. And in daily living, it becomes to join with others. So this is a very simple message and a very simple teaching which can actually be lived. It is not a theory. It doesn't just stay in studies and scriptures, but it is a very simple way of looking at life and looking at relationships, which I will talk about briefly, which will show you the way to peace of mind. Something which is very obvious, but which has been overlooked by us in our daily living. The Indian scriptures have one very simple message. They say that it appears that I am speaking and you are listening. It appears that way. But if I was not conscious and nor were you conscious, speaking and listening would not happen. We would be dead bodies. So who is speaking and who is listening? Consciousness is speaking through one body and consciousness is listening through the other body. It appears that they are two separate people in this dynamic. Now we can just take a very simple example in the kitchen. Everybody knows that it is the same electricity which functions through each and every gadget in the kitchen. Bringing about what a particular gadget is designed to produce. A toaster is designed to produce toast. A juicer will produce juice. But without electricity, they would be dead objects in the kitchen. Similarly, it is the same energy, which we call consciousness, which functions through all of us, each and every person in this room, in the world. It is the same electricity which is functioning through all of us, without which we would not be here. But this simple fact is completely overlooked because we look at everyone as separate from ourselves. And then begins the battle of life. What should have been me and the other has become me versus the other. My opinion versus your opinion. My point of view versus your point of view. My judgment versus your judgment. Without realizing that the same energy is functioning through everyone, even those we don't like. Now imagine if we lived life knowing this from morning to evening, whether it is our parents, our brothers and sisters, our friends, the people at work, or even a stranger on the road. If we lived with this understanding, life would become more peaceful. If it is the same consciousness functioning through you and me, can consciousness really hate itself? Is it really possible that the same electricity, the same energy can hate itself? It's not possible because it is only one. The next step is to understand that right from the time we are born, there were so many factors which were not in our control. We didn't choose our parents. We didn't choose the brothers and sisters we would have if we had. We didn't choose the school we went to. We didn't choose the income group, the level of money our parents had. So many factors since our birth have shaped us into who we are. We didn't choose our religion. And all these factors have come together to create this person. And on the basis of these factors, I say things and I do things. And on none of these factors did I really have a choice. It was my environment which shaped me, which created me, which shaped my thoughts, my feelings, my views. Similarly, this is the story with everyone. It is their environment, their conditioning, their upbringing, the way their parents treated them, the way their school treated them, the way their friends treated them, which shaped them, and they've become who they are based on all those factors. So what does this mean? This means that if I'm having a simple conversation with someone and they say something, I may not like what they say. I may not agree with them. But it doesn't mean that I am right and they are wrong. How can I be right and how can the other be wrong? It's not possible. The other is expressing his view the way he has been shaped to express his view, just as I am. So when you understand this, that life is no longer about blaming people, but understanding that they are saying what they are doing what they are, based on their upbringing, their conditioning, their thoughts, their point of view, which is as valid as mine. I may not agree with them, but I will not try to convince them that I am right and they are wrong. Because the energy, the consciousness, which some call God, has created both of us. Nobody is less, nobody is more. This starts becoming your way of life and living. You start accepting people for who they are, not how you want them to be. We all are trying to change people. And that means we assume that we know the best of what how a person should be, how they should talk to me, how they should react to me. This obsession with trying to change people stops. Another beautiful thing which happens is I accept myself for the way I have been created. Many of us hate ourselves, but when we understand that who we are today is how this energy has created us, God, the source consciousness has created us, right from our birth, where is the question of hating oneself? So if you start viewing your relationships in life from this perspective, you will find a complete absence of hatred and all the negative thought processes of the mind. The mind will be free of the garbage which it keeps recycling inside its mind about what other people are, who they are, what have they done to me, what have I done to myself, why did I say this, why did he do that, why did she say that. All that thinking which is going on in our minds starts reducing because we accept things for the way they are. And when the thinking mind starts reducing this activity which goes on and on throughout the day, the light of consciousness and presence starts shining through us. We can actually be present for whatever arises right now. Most of us, our minds are elsewhere while we are sitting here. That incessant activity of the thinking mind starts dissolving. And the beauty of life starts getting discovered. The beauty of relationships. When you realize, you know, I don't like this person I get along with. Okay, I don't like them really. But now I see that this is how they have been shaped through life's challenges and circumstances. Compassion starts arising. Because now you know that if I find mistakes in other people, I must understand that I do have my own mistakes because we both have been created by the same force. And so you will find that you honor people for who they are in your life, the value they bring to you. You find that sense of unity and oneness starts increasing. You find that your boundaries which you have built all your life start breaking down. Because you realize that we are both coming from the same place. It is as simple as that. It is not something hard to follow or something hard to put into practice. It is one's own experience. And your life from a daily living point of view will start changing. It is bound to happen. And one starts trusting the process of life more and more. There is so much which in our daily lives we are operating only on trust, but we take it for granted. We don't choose to breathe. Breathing is happening. We don't choose to make our hearts pump. It is pumping. What is the force which is doing all that? Are we doing it? Do we even choose deep sleep? Can anyone actually say that at 10 p.m. I am going to fall into deep sleep? Even that we don't choose. Who is doing that? we who take so much pride in what we are doing in the day, are we really doing this? Or is there a force, is there an energy, is there electricity which is handling so much of our lives and we just take it for complete granted? Like we do know we are going to wake up tomorrow. On what basis do you have that confidence that you will wake up tomorrow? That same force is working through everyone. And that is the force which must be trusted. But we've taken a part of it and we've said, this is me. This is me and my story of life. And I will protect myself from those who don't like me or those who hurt me. I will only love some people and not others. And then this wall around ourselves starts becoming thicker and thicker and thicker, which is the wall of separation. And that becomes the story of our lives. And what happens? Resentment, hatred, not wishing well upon other people. My spiritual teacher in his last days was asked that you've spoken for more than 25 years. Supposing someone said in one sentence, just in one sentence, you put your entire message, what would it be? And he said, I would only say that in your own lives, love each and everyone in your life that you come across as if you created them. As simple as that. Another very important part of this teaching, which is again everyone's experience, is we must understand that whatever is arising in our field of consciousness, in our own field of consciousness. It is not outside. Supposing you have a thought, any thought, let's say a negative thought about someone. This person is a miser, or this person is someone who is unbearable. That thought actually has nothing to do with the other person, because it's arising in your own consciousness. Anything you think about someone else is arising in your own consciousness. It appears that the person is outside you and you have pointed a finger and said, this is so and so. But it is only appearing within your field of consciousness. So the question is, what are you going to fill that field of your consciousness with? What is the content of that consciousness going to be filled with throughout your day? There's a story of someone who was abusing the Buddha non-stop. He kept hurling abuses at the Buddha. But the Buddha was calm and still. So the person who was walking with the Buddha said, how can you tolerate this? This man is shouting at you, screaming at you, abusing you, but you are not saying a word. So the Buddha said, look, it's very simple. If someone gives me a gift and I don't accept it, that gift stays with the person who wanted to give me the gift, right? Similarly, if someone abuses me and I don't accept it, it stays with the abuser. So all that is generated in our own minds, all our thoughts, is staying with us. It's got really nothing to do with it being projected out there. So with this awareness, you start living your life more consciously. It is said that the number of breaths we have is already fixed in this lifetime. The point is now that with each breath, what is going to be your mantra? With each inhalation and each exhalation, what is it that is constantly going to go on in the mind? That is the level of awareness. The masters say that if you are aware of your breath all the time, you can consider yourself enlightened. Try doing it even for 5 minutes. And there's so much of our thinking which we are not aware of. So when this whole perspective changes, that it is the same energy, the same consciousness, the same electricity living through all of us, this is completely freed up, because you accept people for who they are, you accept your life situations for who they are, you accept yourself for who you are, and you are truly able to start living in the present moment, which again is the goal of yoga. You also see that the design of life is duality. we are born into duality. Our life is made up of opposites, left and right, up and down, black and white, rich and poor, good and bad. That is the design of life, pleasure and pain. But what we are doing is we are running after pleasures and avoiding pain, which is creating our own suffering, because nobody has lived a life of only pleasure. It is not possible because it is the design of life. So that happiness which we are finding out of pleasures we realize does not last, because it lasts only as long as the pleasure lasts. What is the use of such a happiness which depends on a pleasure? Because you know, as a great Indian master Nisargadatta Maharaj said, pleasure is the absence of pain and pain is the absence of pleasure. But between every two pleasures, there is a pain. That is life, because you never know what the next moment is going to bring you. Is it pleasure or is it pain? Nobody knows that. But you do know that when my happiness is connected to a pleasure, it is not going to last, because the pleasure is not going to last. Then you start thinking, what is the true happiness which does not depend on a pleasure, which I can have all the time? That is what I want. Is there such a thing as true happiness? And you get the answer that the true happiness which does not depend on a pleasure is only my attitude to what happens in life. What happens in life, I have no control over. But my attitude to what happens in life, I have control. And my attitude to life is my attitude to the other, which I have just spoken about. Dayanand Saraswati had given a very good example. Someone had asked him, do we have free will? Because nobody likes being told that you don't have free will. So they asked Dayanand Saraswati this, and he said, imagine a goat which is tied to a long rope, and the rope is tied to a post in the ground. Now the goat can roam around as much as it wants till the length of the rope. Beyond that, it cannot go. That is the circumstances in which the goat is. But what the goat does within the length of that rope is up to the goat. Where he goes within that is up to him. What Dayanand Saraswati was pointing out at is this. We are all bound by our circumstances in life, which we have not created. But within those circumstances, what is our attitude to life? That we can look at. So the teaching becomes a living teaching, because your practice, be it of meditation, be it of yoga, pranayama, must be lived through the day. A harmonious breath has to be lived through the day, not just in that hour of practice. And when you are in harmony with your world, with others and yourself, your breath is bound to be harmonious. And when your breath is harmonious, you find that as time goes on, you are more and more witnessing the flow of life, whatever it brings, pleasure or pain, ups and downs. You become a witness to what's going on the screen of your consciousness, just like you are watching a movie. And your own experience, everything comes and goes in life. Everything is transient, everything moves, everything shifts. Constantly, your own life's experience shows you that. But what knows this, that everything is changing? That is the ground of witnessing. You start witnessing the show in your life going on from a place of deep peace and calm. Because you know the four words in the Bible, this too shall pass, as being your own life's experience. The most happiest times in your life have passed, the worst times in your life have passed, but you remained. And who is this you who remained through it all? It's very simple. Supposing right now your memory was wiped out completely. I pressed a button and your entire memory is wiped out. What is left? The memory is gone. But what is left? What is left is the pure existence of being, because you will still know that you exist and you are. You will not know who you are, but you will know you are. That is what you came to the world with, existence, being aware. The baby is pure awareness. And what happened as the baby grew up? It became a person. This is your name. This is your house. This is this. This is that. That is that. This is you. This is not you. Do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. Do this. It became a person. But if all that memory was wiped out, you would be pure awareness, pure consciousness, pure being right now. You are already that. That pureness is already here right now, and it is what everybody is. We haven't lost what we were as children. It has just got covered up with all these years of conditioning. So this is an invitation to come back into that space of pure being and live from that, operate from that. Live a life of lightness, of ease, of joy, of simplicity. Don't wish harm upon others, because to wish harm upon others is to wish harm upon yourself. In the Indian scriptures, there's a story of a boy who was tortured terribly by many people, especially his father, Pralada. But he had full faith in God, to the extent that God came and stood in front of him. And God said, I am so happy with you, my child. I would like to grant you a boon. So Pralada said, Lord, I don't want a boon from you. I mean, you come and stood before me, that's more than enough. I don't need anything else. And the Lord was so impressed by this young boy that he said, now I insist that I have to grant you a boon. So the boy thought, and then he said, okay, Lord, I have one request. I want that no harm should come to those who have tortured me. So the Lord was shocked. He said, this boy has been tortured by so many people, including his father, and his wish is that no harm should come to those who have tortured him. So he asked the boy, why is this your wish? And the boy said, because, Lord, to wish harm upon them is to wish harm upon you, because you created them. The boy had the full understanding that everyone in his life played the role they were supposed to play. He had no hatred for anyone. So this is a simple message which I leave you with. Live your life going back to the basics and let your daily living be your practice. And you will see that your life is more peaceful and harmonious than it ever was. Life is short. Would you rather live it in harmony and peace, or in continuous conflict with situations, people, and with yourself? When your priority is clear, you will be living yoga in your life, and your life will become an offering to the divine. Life will not become easier, but it will become simpler. And a simpler life is a life well lived. Keep things simple. Life was not meant to be complicated. That is all I have to say and leave you all with. And I have seen it in my life, the change it had on me, the impact it had, and that is the only reason I speak about it. Because I like to share the transformation which happened to me. Peace and harmony is everyone's birthright, and it is the way to a life well lived.
Thank you, Peter. Everyone's to ask him.
Thank you for sharing with us these beautiful thoughts.
Thank you.
Wildlife, these marvelous.
Can you please explain to me what is the difference between the presence of now in yoga and mindfulness? Because lately I hear a lot about mindfulness, And sometimes I have this difficulty in realizing the difference, or is it the same?
You see, these are, it depends on what you refer to as mindfulness. Now, I will give you an example in meditation.
Yeah.
In Advaita, what is meditation? It is not concentrating on something. Whereas in mindfulness, depending on the way mindfulness is used, it could mean a way of concentration. The way of meditation in Advaita is a way of life itself. You allow whatever arises to arise in meditation when you sit. You allow whatever arises to arise and let it pass. Just like you are watching traffic on the street. You are not trying to stop some cars and make certain cars go fast. You are watching the cars going past. So here there is no degree of concentration because one is resting in one's awareness and being. So if mindfulness refers to concentrating on something, this is completely the opposite path. This is the path of not becoming but being. It is the opposite of concentration, because for concentration you need a me to concentrate. An individual is concentrating on something. Whereas this is the absence of the me, allowing whatever is to be. Now, which path resonates with you more is something you would have to decide. In our silent meditations, there is no question of concentration. It is allowing each moment. Let's say a thought comes up and then you start thinking. At some point you realize I was thinking, and then that is cut off. All the while you're just allowing whatever has to happen to happen. And you will find over time that the gap between thoughts starts increasing without you doing anything. And that is a way of life too. Someone had asked Nisargadatta Maharaj about this, and he said, supposing you are going into a railway station and there's a crowd of people coming out. You find your way through the crowd. You don't bump into everyone and push them. You find out the gaps and you go through. Similarly in life, you will find that even with thoughts, you find your way through the thoughts, to the gap between the thoughts, and that becomes your way of life. I'll tell you something funny. You know, with this understanding, like I said, nobody is wrong anymore. You just like feel everyone has their point of view. So my spiritual master was a bank manager in his younger days. He's the head of a very big bank. And one day his biggest client came to him and said, he was very upset. And he said, I have to discuss with you a personal problem. I hope you don't mind, because I couldn't think of anyone else. So he was shocked, but he said, okay, go ahead. And he started complaining about his wife, this client. Started saying, my wife is this, she says these things to me, and you know, I really don't like it. And so my master, who was the bank manager, he said, oh, you're absolutely right, I'm so sorry, oh, you're right, she should not have said this, oh, you're right, she should not have said that, because he couldn't say anything else, you know. And this client then went away, so he was relieved, you know. Next day, he was sitting, the bank manager was sitting, and the secretary buzzed him and said, you know what, our biggest client who came yesterday, his wife has come to see me. So he was like, this is really quite terrible. You know? So the wife came and said, you know, I believe my husband has a lot of respect for you, and I didn't know whom else to talk to, so I'd like to confide in you about problems we are having at home. So he said, all right. And she said, you know, my husband, he's really like this, and I really hate these things he does and the way he talks to me. And so the bank manager said, you're right, ma'am, yes, you're absolutely right, I agree with you completely. So at the end of the day, he went back to his home. My master Ramesh went back to his home. He was sitting, his wife was there. His wife asked him, how was your day? So he said, you won't believe it. 2 days ago, the biggest client comes and complains about his wife. And I kept saying, you are right, you are right, you are right. And today the wife came and complained about the husband. And I kept saying, you are right, you are right, you are right. So Ramesh's wife looked at him and said, how could you tell both of them that you are right? And he said, I looked at my wife and told her, you are right. So everyone becomes right, you know, because that's the way they feel, that's the way they sing, it's fine. That becomes your mantra before getting into an argument. You're going to just say, yes, you're right.
Breathe in, you are right.
Should we end with some?
Yes, we do. Yet has been my mother, Yoga Karma Kaushala. For many, many years, since I read it, all the Kama Sutra over there.
Yeah.
So, it's the attitude.
Exactly. So simple.
You will.
That was really a good
message. And the Bhagavad Gita. If you have
a
I don't know how to perceive. Faz barulho, para tudo. Esta é mais mexidinha. Vamos dar uma chilada. Thank you.
Namaste.